Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Tzadik Tes, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Tes Samad Aleph, right at the top of Avd Amid B'yad Avdei Chayiv. As we had learned in the previous, on the Mishnah at the end of the previous shiur, the Mishnah told us that if the shoyl instructed the mashal to send the cow with the mashal's son or his mashal's shliach or the mashal's eved, since it was done based on the instructions of the shoyl, the halacha is the shoyl becomes responsible. Ask the Gemara, B'yad Avdei Chayiv, it Mishnah taught us that if it's sent with the eved of the mashal, then the shoyl will be chayiv. Ask the Gemara, Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabbi, isn't the eved an extension of the mashal? And since the eved is an extension of the mashal, don't we have here a situation that the animal, the cow, never left the shoyl's, the mashal's possession? So even though it's being done through the shoyl's instruction, it should still not be that the shoyl is responsible, since it never left the mashal's the domain. And it says the Gemara, Amishmu, the Mishnah is referring to a situation that it was sent with an Eved Ivri. The like kind of like Gufay, that we know that Eved Ivri is not considered the possession of his owner, and therefore he has an independent identity, and therefore certainly he could serve as the shliach that the shoyl becomes responsible when the mashal sends it with the Eved Ivri. And as Tosfos points out, if it's being sent with a shliach of the mashal, we had a discussion, we've been learning numerous times in our perek, the halach is the ba'olav imoy, that if the owner of the animal is working for the shoyl, then there's a special ptur from all halachas of shomrim. Ask Tosfos, if this individual is the shliach of the mashal, and we learned earlier in the perek that the eved of the mashal certainly creates a situation of Baal of Imoy. So what are we having a discussion? Ask Tosfos in the Rishonim, if he's going to be a shoyl, if he's going to have the dinim of a shoyl, isn't this a situation of Baal of Imoy? Answers Tosfos that when is it considered Baal of Imoy that the owner of the animal is working for the shoyl? When he's doing a job on behalf of the shoyl. Here he's not really working for the shoyl. He's just delivering on behalf of the mashal the animal. And since he's delivering it on behalf of the mashal, that doesn't create a situation of Baal of Imoy. Rav Amar, Rav answers, I feel time for Eved Kanani. We can explain our Mishnah to referring with an Eved Kanani. However, when the shoyl instructed the mashal to send the cow to him, Nasa Kaimalei, we have a situation as if he said to him, Hikisha Ramakal Vitovai. As we have learned previously, one of the ways of affecting a kinyan on an animal is by causing that the animal should come into my domain, and here that is the situation by saying so, it becomes a situation of Hikisha Mamako Vitovai. And the Rishonim have a number of ways of explaining what this means. Rashi seems to understand, and maybe Tosfos is along the same line of thinking, that by the Shoyl saying to the Mashal, send this animal to me, he becomes responsible for the animal, and because he becomes responsible for the animal, that's enough for the Hilchos Shomrim to start to apply. Another explanation, which the Ravid learns, that it's a form of a Kinyan Meshicha, which we know is a valid Kinyan. The Rosh learns that what happens here is that the owner of the animal relinquishes the halachic term is mesalik, his rights to this animal, and that is enough to create a situation of shomrim. And yet another pshat that we mentioned when we learned the Mishnah, that here we have a situation of orev, And the shoyl accepting upon himself this responsibility brings him into the same category as an arev, which we know halachically becomes responsible. It's interesting to point out, our Gemara speaks about the type of kinyan of a kish b'makel v'itavoy. Actually, in Shas, when we encounter this type of kinyan of hikish b'makel, of creating a kinyan and an animal because the animal comes towards me, there are really two ways the Gemara describes it. One way is hikish b'makel v'itavoy, and another way of describing it is koroi v'bo, calling it and he comes. So I saw a beautiful vart from the Tiferes Shloimeh. Tiferes Shloimeh says, we know that Yaakov Avinu said to his children before he passed away, he was telling Klal Yisrael what will be our fate as we come close to the Achris Hayomim. So the Tiferes Shloimeh explains as follows. He says, as we just learned, as we know, before Mashiach comes, Klal Yisrael will all have to come to the recognition of Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. But there are two ways to come to that recognition. One way is Hikish Shabamakel. Through persecution, we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And the other way of coming to that recognition is Kara, by recognizing through love and recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Hashem. Hashem rules the world, says the Tiferes Shloimeh. That's what Yaakov Avinu meant to say to his children. He got asfava gidulchem, ashiyikra eschem, ba'achra siyumim, ashiyikra. It'll be Mashiach will a mitzvah come through koroi vihiba, through love, not that Klal Yisrael, who have already suffered so much, will have to suffer again. Rather, koroi vibo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just call us out and we will realize his greatness and come close to him to bring Mashiach, which is actually the last pasuk of Eicha, which says Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva, we will come close back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu till Chadei Shomeinu Kikedem. So back to our Gemara, we have now a machloikus of Rav and Shmuel how to interpret our Mishnah, the case of the Mashal's Eved. Shmuel explains that's referring to an Eved Ivri, and Rav says it's when somebody allows the Eved of the Mashal to carry the animal, it becomes a situation as if Korov Yehiba. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, there's a Braisa. The Braisa says, Hashayopar B'Shulchalah, if somebody is borrowing a cow, and it's being sent by the Mashal, from the Mashal, Biyad Benoi, Biyad Shluchai, with a son or with a Shliach, Chayiv. Then the Shoyal becomes responsible for the animal. However, if he sent it Biyad Avdoi, then the Shoyal is Potter. Says the Gemara, Bishlam L'Shmuel, according to Shmuel, we have a very easy way of understanding our Mishnah. Amasnisan is talking about Eved Ivri. The Mishnah is referring to Eved Ivri, and that's why the Eved is considered a valid Shliach. Brisa is referring to Eved Kanani, and that's why the Eved Kanani is omitted from the Brisa. El Rav, Kasha. According to Rav, even Eved Kanani could be the Shliach. So why does the Brisa not mention the Eved? Amalch Rav. So Rav sort of speaks, reinterprets his position. Loitei Menasek Oimalei. Don't say that as soon as the Shoyal agreed that he could send the animal, it's as if he said to him, Nasak Oimaloi, Hikisha Remakli Tama, Hitava El Ema. The way we need to understand our Mishnah is referring to a situation by Omalei, where the Shoyal expressly said to the Mashal, Hikisha Remakli Tava. And now we could understand the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. In the Mishnah, the Shoyal explicitly said Hikisha Remakli Tavoi, and that's why he becomes responsible. However, in the Braisa, since he didn't use those words, he doesn't become responsible. Ditma, and we have a Braisa, the Gemara seems to say, to corroborate this interpretation. Hashleini Parascha, if the Shoyal says to the Mashal, lend me your cow, Vamloi, and he says to him, Biyad me, with whom should I send it? Vamloi Kisha B'Makav Tavoi. And the Shoyal tells the Mashal, Kisha B'Makav Tavoi, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu, Amar Rav, Kivin Shiyotz Mishos Mashal or Mesa, once it left the domain of the Mashal, he's Chayiv. Why? Because he expressly said, Hikisha Makal V'Tofay. Says the Gemara. This previous Gemara was just what an Amira said. But now the Gemara wants to corroborate this from what a Braisa perhaps says. Name of Messiah, perhaps there's even a Braisa to support this explanation. Because the Braisa speaks about a case, Hashleni Parascha, if somebody says to somebody else, lend me your cow. Vamalei b'yad me, and he says, with whom should I send it? Vamalei kish b'makel v'tavoy. So says the Braisa, kivin shiyotz m'shus mashal mesa, once it leaves the domain of the mashal, and it dies, chayiv, the shoyl is responsible. So the Gemara seems to say that from here we see that as long as the shoyl said, hikish b'makel v'tavoy, and the mashal sends it, he becomes responsible, which is exactly what we said Rav holds. Says the Gemara, Aravashi, we don't need to interpret the Braisa this way. Rather, the way we'll understand the Braisa is referring to a situation, the chatzar of the shoyl is right within the chatzar of the mashal, the kimishal chaloi. So when the shoyl sends when the mashal sends the animal, vaday lasim ozloi, it certainly will go into the shoyl's courtyard, and that's why it's considered a valid way of affecting that he is now a responsible. For as the Rishonim explained, the point here is smichas das, that the shoyl should accept upon himself the responsibility, and this is clearly an indication that he accepts responsibility. Says the Gemara, and that's the way we're going to learn the entire Gemara, that it works here with smichas das. Ask the Gemara, Ihochamayla Memra, if it's referring to a situation that it's going directly from the domain of the mashal to the chotzer of the shoyl, so obviously it's a valid kinyan. Certainly we have here a situation of smichas das. What is the Braisa teaching us? Answers the Gemara, Letzricha dis ikke gazyaisa. And Rashi explains gazyaisa to mean that in the courtyard of the mashal there are nooks and crannies where the animal can hide, and therefore we would think that now the shoyl should perhaps be thinking, it's not certain that this animal is going to end up in my chotzer, it may run into one of these nooks and crannies in the chotzer of the mashal. Maybe the animal will remain there. It will not enter into my chotzer. That's why the Braisa says that since it's probably and likely going to end up in the shoyl's chotzer, some chedate, and it's a valid kinyan that the shoyl should become responsible. That's how Rashi explains. Drutva is not satisfied with Rashi's pshat, because Rashi says if the gazyaisa that the Gemara is referring to are in the rishus of the mashal, so Ritva says the man of shach. If the animal is going to remain in the rishus of the mashal, certainly the shoyl is not going to be responsible. And if the animal is going to go into the rishus of the shoyl, because it doesn't go into one of those nooks and crannies, then the shoyl should certainly become a shoyl. What's again the chiddush of the Braisa? So therefore, the Ritva explains that what Gizyaisa means is that there is no Rishus Rabim interfering between the Rishus of the Mashal and the Shoyl, but there is a Gizyaisa, an area belonging to private people. And the question is that considered enough? And the Chiddush of the Braisa is that we would think, since there's another area that belongs to other people, even though it's not really an open Rishus, a real Rishus, it's like a small area, that should be enough, that we shouldn't have Smichas Das from the Shoyl to accept responsibility. Teaches us the Braisa, since it's really a situation that it's going directly from the Mashal to the Shoyl, even though there is this small area of Gazyais in between, the halacha is that the shoyl does become responsible. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Hashoyel Kadem Chaveroi. If somebody borrows a hatchet from someone else, Brokaboy, as soon as he begins to chop wood with it, as soon as he begins to use it, Kanoi, he becomes responsible, Loi Baka, Loi Kanoi. If he didn't do it, if he didn't yet use it, he's not chay. And that Ritva puts the Gemara into context. Ritva says, certainly, as far as the halachas of most shomrim, for example, just like a shomer sakhar is chayv for gneiva v'aveda, with a regular level of responsibility, certainly for pshia, we don't need to have a situation at any point in the Gemara's discussion that he actually does an act, he actually uses the item that he borrowed. Here we're referring to a shoyl, whom we have discussed and we are learning has a very high level of responsibility, that he's chayiv for oinsim. So Rav Huna is saying that to be chayiv, that high level of responsibility, bakaba, you have to actually use the item that you borrowed. Lamai, ask the Gemara, we need to understand what Rav Huna just said. Ilayim al oinsim. If we're going to say, as we just tried to say, that the shoyl is not chayiv for oinsim until he actually uses the item that he borrowed, Mishna Paro, we learned in our Mishnah, the Mishah Shayla, just like by the cow. We're having a discussion in our Mishnah, at what point does the shoyl become responsible? But it's obvious from understanding our Mishnah that he becomes responsible even though he didn't actually use the cow. So he's seeing that usage is not what makes you chayiv. Says the Gemara, El Chazara. The question here is, at what point can the mashal retract? Bakaba, once the shoyl actually uses the kardum, loy matzah hadabe mashal, the mashal can't retract. Loy bakaba, but if he didn't actually use it, matzah mashaba, he could still retract. For as we're going to see in our Gemara, Rav Huna is of the opinion that Mashicha is not a form of kinyan for a shoyl. And therefore, Rav Huna holds as follows. And as far as the shoyl becoming responsible, so as we learned in our Mishnah, accepting upon oneself the responsibility is enough to be chayiv in the oinsim. As far as the other din, until what point could the mashal retract? That is an entirely different discussion, and according to Rav Huna, and that was the way most Rishonim explained, it's a gzeiris chazal that until the shoyl actually uses it, the halacha is he can't. Until the shoyl actually uses, the mashal can be chayzer. Afterwards, he cannot, can no longer be chayzer. Says the Gemara Pligid Rav Ami, and this opinion that doesn't give Mashiach, that says the Mashiach is not really a valid kinyan, is in disagreement with Rav Ami said. Dom Rav Ami. Rav Ami said, Hamashal Kadam Shal Hagdish. If somebody lends a kardum, a hatchet that belongs to Hagdish. So again, we know that there's a din of Mila Behagdish. A Mila Behagdish means that if I have the case that we're talking about, I have in my possession an axe, hatchet that belongs to Hegdish, and I go and I lend it to someone else. So I have done Mi'ila Behegdish. And since I've done Mi'ila Behegdish, so it leaves the category of Hegdish. So first of all, let's discuss what I've done. I who had this kardum and took it out of Hegdish's domain. Mal Lefei Tavis HaNor Shabbat. Every item has a value, how much somebody would be willing to pay that to have this item lent to him. That's how in other words, how much would the lender be willing to pay to create a situation that the lender would want to lend this to me? That is the value of this mi'ila. And the halacha for mi'ila behegdish is the person who's mo'il has to bring a carbon mi'ila, a sham mi'ilis, and he has to pay a keren v'chaymish. This is how we would assess the keren and the chaymish. Now that it's left, as I said a moment ago, the Rishus of Hagdish, so the person who he lent this hatchet to can use it, because it already leaves Hegdish's domain. Now ask the Gemara, if the person wasn't kind of it, if by taking something and lending it, if taking something and doing Mashiach with it is not a valid kinyan, a maimol, so why, when the person who gave the hatchet away did that, is it considered that he did it an act of Mila? And if it's not an act of Mila, v'amai chaver mutal v'akabal chatchila, why would it somebody else be allowed to use it? Nehadre, it's still Hegdish. The fact that it's considered an act of Mila, what created that this should be a situation of Mila? It must be the Mashicha that the Mashal did. Of course, the Rishonim point out that it doesn't mean that the shoyl could use it indefinitely, because it's always added Rishus HaHegdish. It certainly has a certain time frame attached to it. And the way the Rishonim seem to understand is that the time frame is, we said that the Mi'ila, the value of the Mi'ila is Lefi Toivish HaNoh Shabah. So the Toivish HaNoh is how much it's worth to, that I should pay, that you should agree to lend this to me. What type of financial transaction would create a situation that you would lend this to me? Now, obviously, the longer the duration of the loan, the length of the duration of the loan depends on the payment. And that's what the Gemara means. The Toivus HaNoh will depend on the length of the time of the Hava, and the person who's allowed to use this item will only be allowed to use that item for that long. So according to Rav Ami, we see that he holds the Mashiach is kaina midaraisa. Says the Gemara, Pliga de Rabbi Lazar, and this is in disagreement with Rabbi Lazar. This is a third opinion. Dom Rabbi Lazar, Kederach Shatika Mashiach Belkuchas, just like Chazal established the Mashiach is a valid form of kinyan by selling, by Mekach Umemkar, Kach Tiknu Mashiach B'Shaimrim. So too is it valid by Shaimrim. Tanya Namihachi, and so do we see in Ebraisa, Shem Shetiknu Mashiach B'Lekuchas, just like Chazal said Mashiach is valid by Lekuchas, so too did Chazal say Kach Tiknu Mashiach B'Shaimrim, that's valid by Shaimrim. Netosis interestingly points out that when we're saying now that Mashiach is valid, that's only as far as the halacha, according to Rabbi Lazar, that Mashiach is valid b'shoimrim, that's only as far as the halacha that the mashal can no longer retract after Mashiach is done. However, as far as responsibility for the item, as soon as the shomer takes the responsibility for the item, even though he didn't do Mashicha, as we maybe discussed earlier, the shomer would become responsible. So actually we have here a three-way machlokes. According to Rav Huna, Mashicha is not valid at all by shomerim, even midrabanan. Rav Elazar says it's valid midrabanan, and Rav Ami says that it's even valid midaraisa. Mefarshim actually point out an interesting question. There's a famous Rambam, because the question that comes up is, could a kinyan, which is only valid midrabanon, affect and create dine daraisa? And the Rambam interestingly says that on Yontif, on Sukkos, one has to be careful if he gives his dalam minim to a cotton, because a cotton has the ability to be koina, to purchase something, but not to makna, not to sell something. So if I give my dalam minim to a cotton, he's going to be able to receive him, but he won't be able to give them back to me. Because there is no, because the cotton only has the ability to be makna, to sell something with rabbanon, and since I have to own the dalam minim with a kinyan d'oraisa, I would have a problem that I cannot now be Makayim mitzvahs dalaminim, because the chiv is v'lokachtem lochem, the dalaminim have to belong to me. So we see that according to the Rambam, a kinyan midrabanan doesn't affect dinei d'oraisa. So ask the Achrayim, how could Rabbi Lazar, as we just learned, say that the Kinyan Meshicha Midrabonon creates the Chiyuvei Shomrim? According to Rambam, a Kinyan Midrabonon doesn't affect a Chiyuv Daraisa. Answer the Achrayim. The Rambam is referring to a cotton. A cotton is an individual, they say, who isn't at all in the parasha of Kinyonim Midaraisa. And since he's not in the parasha of Kinyonim Midaraisa, the king, even if he has Kinyonim Midrabonon, they can't create the Raisa Digger situations. Here, however, we're referring to Shomrim, who are obviously Gedolim, who obviously are in the parasha of Kinyonim Midaraisa. So even if this particular Kinyon that we're discussing is not a Kinyon Midaraisa, since the individuals who are involved with this Kinyan are individuals who can do Kinyan Deraisa, it will be effective to create a Deraisa obligation even with a Kinyan Derabonim. Continues the Braisa, Kshem Shekarka Niklas B'Kesh B'Shtar V'Chazaka, just like property can be bought with Kesh B'Shtar V'Chazaka, Kach Schiris Niklas B'Kesh B'Shtar V'Chazaka. Ask the Gemara, Schiris Ma'evedetei. We're not talking about Schiris. What does the Gemara mean? What does the Brice mean with Schiris? Answer the Gemara, Amarav, Schiris Karka. What the Brice is teaching us is that you could affect the rental of Karka since you can't do Meshicha. The way to do it is either by giving money or through a Shtar or through doing an act of Chazaka. Amishmul, Hai Man the Gozel, Chavitsa the Tamri Mechaveroi. If somebody stole a cake of pressed dates from somebody else, this by Chamishim Tamri, in this cake there are 50 dates stuck together. Agav Hadadi, if they're all sold together, this entire cake is sold together, Mizdabne Benin Nochi Chada, they can be sold for $49. Chada Chada, but if they're sold at one date at a time, then Mizdabne Benin, then it'll cost $50, $1 a date. So now somebody stole this cake. So if he stole it from a hedjet, from a regular individual, Mishalm Chamishim Nechichada, he'll have to pay $49. Lehegdish, if he steals it from Hegdish, Mishalm Chamishim Chumshayu, he has to pay $50, and he has to pay a Chumish on top of it. Mashen came a Mazik, if he is Mazik the dates that belong to Hegdish, the din was only if he stole it, not if he ate it. Domamar, because the pasuk says ish ki yoichel kodesh prat lemazik. The din of mazik, as Tosfos explains, midaraisa, there is no chiyuv for mazik at all when somebody is mazik hegdish, and the entire din that one is responsible if he is mazik hegdish is only midrabanan. And since it's only midrabanan, there is no din of chaimish. Maskevle, Rabbi Barabaya, lehegid amay mishalom chamishim nachi chada. Why, if somebody stole it from a private individual, does he only have to pay $49? Namele, why can't the victim say to him, anoch chada chada abmezninele, I would have sold it for one date at a time and received $50. And therefore I should be entitled to $50, not just $49. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, Shomim Beis Saba Oysa Soda Tanan. We learned this Gemara Masechta Baba Kama. The Gemara discusses there where somebody's axe ruined a shura, ruined an aruga, a row in someone else's field. And were we to evaluate the value of that row, he would have to pay. Were we to evaluate the value of that row, he would have to pay a lot. Says the Gemara Masechet Bava Kama, based on learning a pasuk, that's the way Rashi explains, that we look at it as part of a large field, we look at it as part of a base saw, and what will the value of the field be diminished if we only took out one, if we sell it minus that row or with that row, which is obviously very much a favor to the mazik. And in fact, that's what the Gemara is teaching us. But the Gemara is teaching us is that even though the nizik has to be reimbursed, we also look at the welfare of the mazik. In fact, I saw a very interesting question. If so, if somebody broke the window of someone's house, why would he have to pay? If you're selling a house, even if it has a broken window pane, will that really affect the price of the house? Probably not. So why should you have to pay for the window that you broke? We should look at the window as part of the house. Says the Chazon Ish, since the house that you're, this window is part of a house that you're not looking to sell, if indeed a window of a house that's being sold was broken, it could well be, that's what I think the Chazon Ish is saying, that the Mazik would indeed not be responsible, because a window pane in a whole house isn't really significant. But when we're looking at a window pane, and that's the story of the row in the field, where the field is going to be sold, all the vegetables in the field are going to be sold, and therefore that one row only has that much value. But if it's a house that's not going to be sold, certainly the person who breaks the window has to fix it. Actually, this Gemara is the basis for a psak of the Shoyl HaMeshiv, who discussed the following question. Let's say somebody has a pair of earrings. The pair of earrings is worth $100. And somebody is mazik, one of the earrings. So what does he have to pay? Does he have to pay $50? Because that's ostensibly the value of every earring. Or really, he should perhaps have to pay more, because one earring alone is not worth $50. One earring alone is probably only worth $30, because if you can't find a pair to the earring, it's not really very valuable. Says the Shalomeshiv, since our Gemara is teaching us that we have to take also into consideration the benefit of the mazik, even though we ruined an earring, that by ruining the earring, the pair has effectively been ruined, you only have to pay $50, you wouldn't have to pay more. In fact, I saw another shaila along the same lines. We know the halach is, as we discussed in the Masechta Bava Kama, Adam Mu'ad La'olam. A person is always responsible for what he does. So let's say I walk into a store and I'm not careful and I break a bottle. I break a bottle of wine. So the question is, I'm responsible. But the question is, how much do I have to reimburse the storekeeper? Do I have to pay him the retail value of that bottle of wine, or the wholesale value of the bottle of wine? And based on our Gemara, we see that we have to pay, this is why I saw Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Paskins, in fact, I only have to pay the wholesale value, just like Aruga Ben Harugas. Even though I did see that other Paiskim want to suggest the following. Why does a storekeeper pay wholesale and a customer, a consumer, only pay retail? Because a wholesaler buys in bulk, he buys in volume, he buys many cases. A customer could buy one bottle, two bottles at a time. So now, if I walk into the store and I break one bottle of wine, the storekeeper can't order one bottle of wine to make up the bottle of wine that's broken, because his supplier will not sell him one bottle at a time. And therefore, the din that the storekeeper should be reimbursed at the wholesale price shouldn't apply, because he can't get another bottle of wine. He can't get one single bottle of wine at a wholesale price. It seems that the other achronim say that since that's what the wholesaler, that's what the storekeeper paid, it makes no difference what it'll take him to replace the bottle that was broken. But based on this Gemara, now we have another question. What would be the halacha if I gave a suit to the cleaners, a jacket and a pants, and the cleaner ruined the jacket? Now, when he has to reimburse me, does he have to reimburse me for a whole suit, or does he only have to reimburse me for the jacket? Say the Paiskim, this din that we've been discussing, and that we're not that strict in making this evaluation, is only by a mazik. A cleaner, somebody who's doing something for me, is in the category of one of the dalet shomrim that doesn't have this rule. Lememra, says the Gemara, Lememra the Sava Shmuel, doesn't mean that Shmuel holds that Din Hedjit Lav Kigin Gevay Dami, that Shmuel differentiates how we treat a regular individual from the way we treat Hegdish. For Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, asked the Gemara, not till Evan Akarim Hegdish, if somebody takes a stone or a Kaira or a beam from Hegdish, Lemol. He hasn't really done any Mila, because he hasn't derived any benefit from it. But now if he gives it to someone else, he, the one who took the Hegdish item, has done the Avera Mi'ila. The Chaveroi, the other individual, has not done the Avera Mi'ila. However, if he built the stone into the house, he hasn't done Mi'ila, because just putting it in the house doesn't really affect Mi'ila. If the treasurer just put it on top of an opening, until he lives there, the value of a shava pruta. It's actually interesting to note that the Rishonim discuss if just putting the beam itself and living there is considered an act of mi'ila, or if you have to do something to the beam. Because otherwise, since the beam, if you didn't make any physical change in the beam could just be returned to Hegdish, even though he had benefit of a Shavu Pruta, and may not be considered an Ilo. V'yos Ravu Kameid Rabbi Yochanan, V'yos Kameid Mishmeid Shmuel, Zoysimers, based on what we just learned, we could extrapolate, Hador, Mechatzer Chaver Shlomidatoy, if somebody lives in somebody else's property without permission, Tzorach Lahaos Leischar, he has to pay him rent. Because just like we see that if I live under the beam, it's considered Mila Behegdish, so too, it's considered that I benefited from you and I have to pay you rent if I live in your property, Shloimidas. So we see that Hegdish and Hegit are traded the same way. How could Shmuel say that they're not? Says the Gemara, Hadabe Shmuel Mayhi. Shmuel retracted from what we said, where we compare living under the beam of Hegdish to living Chador b'chatzar chaveroi shloim edatoi. Ask the Gemara, or Maida Mehi Hadabe, what says that Shmuel retracted from one of his dinim, that he retracted from this din, Dilmehai Hadabe? Maybe he retracted from what he said regarding the date. And there he'll say that both Hegdish and Hegdish have to be reimbursed the same way. Says the one, we have to say that Shmuel retracted from the din of Mi'ila to the Rava. As Rava explained, Dama Rava, Hegdish Lomidas, Kehegdish Das Dami. When we talk about Hegdish, even when something is done without the knowledge of Hegdish, that can create obligations. By Hegdish, perhaps you need Das. And I saw two explanations of the Rishonim why. One explanation of the Rishonim I saw is because Hegdish, there's never a concept of Shloim Midas that it's really done without the knowledge of the owner. Who is the owner of Hegdish? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't say that he isn't aware of something. However, by a Hegdish, it is possible that he is indeed not aware of what is happening with his Rishos. Another pshat is as follows. If I use your item, it's not certain that you are upset or that you care that I used your item. Whereas if I used an item of Hegdish, there we know that the Torah has made it abundantly clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he wrote the Torah and wrote the din of Mila Behegdish, made it clear to us that if somebody uses a Hegdish item, even if it was b'shogeg, even if it was an inadvertent, it's considered an Aveira. And therefore, by Hegdish, even if it's Shloim Adas, even if it was b'shogeg, we know the Torah doesn't like it. Whereas by Hegdish, it could be that the owner really doesn't care. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hani Shukloi, these people who are porters, who carry items, the Tavre Chavita de Chamer Lechanvo, that broke the barrel of wine that belonged to a shopkeeper, B'yom V'shuka, on the market day, this item is sold Mizdavna Behei, it's sold for 5 Zuzim. B'shayom, on other days, Mizdavna Be'arba, it's sold for 4 Zuzim. Ahadrele b'yom de Sukkah, if, and this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, if they return a barrel of wine before the market day, so he could sell it for the 5 zuzim, Mahadrele chavita de chamra, it's enough that they return to him another jug of wine, which they'll be able to sell for 5 zuzim. But if they return it on other days after the first market day, Taisa says, then Mahadrele Hay. Then they have to give him 5 zuzim and not just give him a barrel of wine, which is now worth only 4. In other words, according to Rashi, even though he broke it on the barrel on a non-market day, when it was only worth 4 zuz, he has to pay 5 zuz or return a barrel that could get the 5 zuz price on the upcoming market day, because that was what the owner was expecting to sell. He was expecting to sell the barrel and receive 5 zuz for it on the market day. The Ravid and many Rishonim have a problem with Rashi's, and this is Tosfos Pshat also, they have a problem with this Pshat, because we know that typically the halacha is kol hashomrim mishalmim kishas hapshiyah, that you have to pay according to what the value it had on the day the damage happened. And in fact, that is the basis of the Rosh's understanding of our Gemara, that the Rosh says, that our Gemara and the Ravid says that the barrel was broken on a Yom HaShuk, on a market day, and therefore he has to pay 5 zuz, because that's what its value was on that day. But indeed, according to them, if it would have been broken on another day, and that day it's only worth 4 zuz, that's how much he would have to pay for that day. And therefore, in continuing to explain the Gemara, if he broke it on the Yom HaShuk, if he gives it back on that day, he could give back either another barrel of wine, or he could give back 5 zuz. If he gives it back on another day, then the owners could demand that he give only 5 zuz. But now we need to understand Rashi's opinion, because indeed, if it was broken on a non-market day, which our Gemara is saying that on that day it's only worth 4 zuz, why does he have to replace it with 5 zuz? Says the Tzais, that even though normally that's the din, here we have halacha of Garmi. And Garmi says that since something is certainly going to happen as a result of my action, there the halacha is that I have to consider that damage. And here, this person was certainly intending to sell this barrel on the market day and get 5 zuz for it. Therefore, even though it was broken, and even on a non-market day, he has a right to demand 5 zuz. However, says the Gemara, when is this said? Where the shopkeeper had no other wine to sell on the market day, and now them breaking this bottle of wine, he caused them, as we just explained, a loss of obtaining 5 zuz. If he has other wine to sell on that market day, he should sell that wine, and therefore he doesn't have a right to claim 5 zuz. Even when the halacha is that he doesn't have another barrel of wine, and that's why we're saying that he has a right to claim 5 zuz, they could deduct the value of his labor, which means, as the Rishonim, as Rashi explains, how do we take that evaluation? We try to figure out how much profit would the seller be willing to forgo in order not to have to go to work, and not to have to go through the bother of selling the wine. And that value is deducted from the 5 zuz. Furthermore, the demei brzinaisa is deducted. Machloikas Rishonim, Rashi says, two pshatim, what demei brzinaisa means. One pshat is that they had to pay someone to take off the tap, to open up the barrel, was obviously some sort of a skill that you had to pay for. Or another pshat is that the shopkeeper, when he brings the wine on the Yom HaShuk to the market, has to advertise that he has wine available. And the cost of that advertisement, he will now save if the porters just reimburse him, and therefore they could deduct that cost from the five zuz that the Gemara says that he has to pay him.